Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I think it's safe to say that either Yurko, Carmen, or Waddle will walk away from this the champion.
You guys are
Waddle
so...
Waddle has zero chance.
You guys are good at trivia.
You guys are underestimating Meller. I'm telling you, dark horse. Yeah, that's where I'm putting my money.
I'm actually going to either bet at the window Meller or Carmen or Yurko. One of those three.
Well, Carmen and Yurko are the obvious two. I mean, those guys dominate trivia.
I guarantee you Waddle absolutely soils himself.
Soils himself.
That may be true, but that's just a day that ends in a Y. It's not because I failed in a trivia contest.
This is the game, something that...
First of all, you have to explain the game to me. This is something I mentioned today in our pre-show meeting, was that I need all of the information.
So the game was a long-standing feature in Carmen and Yurko and the Catman show.
They
would
do
it during Crosstalk.
Yeah. I loved it.
And the two shows during Crosstalk, like on a Wednesday, I think they would do it. Danny would write a game, and then each team, it would be like the show versus the show. So Carmen and Yurko would be paired against Cap, and there's been many variations of this where there would be a time limit or all different things, but it would whoever score the highest on like 10 or 11 questions. And Cap is not very good at trivia. Neither am I. I actually thought I would be the 8 seed. I'm the 7 seed in this, and everyone is seated.
That's not as funny. If you were the 8th seed, though.
Cap was very angry that I was not the 8th seed.
It wouldn't have been as funny.
And so, Waddle, I believe, is... What is Waddle? The 3 seed?
Waddle's the 3rd seed, yeah.
The 3rd seed.
That's a little bit too high of a seed.
Well, no, because... So, behind the scenes, talking with Danny, Meller is upset about his seed. And Waddle is indifferent of his seed. And I'm indifferent and Chris is indifferent. But... Danny Zetterman has told Meller and I that he went off sex appeal.
Yes.
It's better to have me against Chris, and it's better to have Meller against Waddle.
Well, so it's like Bruce Weber would be paired up against Kansas because he took over the job for Bill Self, and they would like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Stuff like that. So Carmen and I used to be hosts.
Yeah.
We're going against each
other.
Exactly. The obvious first-round matchup is Black versus Abdallah.
Of course, in which I beat him.
So do you have the seedings? And Waddle still doesn't... This is funny because Waddle doesn't know how the game is going to be
played. How's the game go?
So Yurko is the number one overall seed. He will take on Cap.
Tomorrow.
Because Yurko is the number one overall seed, he has the home court advantage, which means the show will be taking place on the Carmen and Yurko show tomorrow at 12:30. So it is Yurko versus Cap at 12:35 tomorrow to kick off this tournament of champions of the game.
Nice.
Then we have the 2-7 matchup. As Abdallah pointed out, Carm is the second seed. He will be taking on Sylvie, his former co-host of the Carmen and Sylvie show. Sylvie and Carmen, my bad.
Seven seed. I'm getting worse with names as the year goes on. I'm always like, I could describe them, and I buckle. And then, like, Danny gave the perfect scouting report.
Yes.
I am the ultimate guy who, on his couch, is watching the game show and can answer some. But as soon as you're in the spotlight, I start armpit sweating profusely, and I all of a sudden forget everything I knew, and I buckle under the pressure.
It's like Chris Bryant coming to the plate in the 8th inning, something like that.
Oh,
I'm joking. You know, I don't really believe in clutch.
Well.
Anyway, so they will be taking on each other on the Carmen and Yurko show because Carmen is the second seed. 3-4, Waddle, that is you. You are number 3. I am the 6th seed, and thus you have the home court advantage, which means it will be taking place on this show at 2:35.
It would have been
Thursday.
Taking place on this show regardless.
Exactly, which is why I should have been the 3 seed and Waddle should have been the 6 seed, but nevertheless,
but
I did.
Yeah,
matter.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine
it's
with
all
that.
Right. That's
why
probably
are you
the
mad
way it
about your seeding? You think you have a good chance to win this one, Meller?
I think so. I have faith in my trivia ability, but nevertheless, we'll let the game
so
be
okay,
played.
So this is trivia. What are the topics?
So the game, like the game, when Danny made the game, it could be anything. But each game will have a theme. So it could be the Tom game, and it'll be
who's writing the game?
Danny Zetterman.
He will be hosting every game.
This was his baby. This was his idea.
Okay, he's been very good at this.
Yes.
But he can be bought. I'm sure. Like most, if you bring in some apple cider vinegar, you may get questions that lean in your direction.
Yes.
Well, he's already tweeting that he wants someone on the Cap and Company show to win, and that can only be Chris Black. So, because Cap's not going to win. So it can only be Chris Black. So he's already told me that the topic for the first game between Chris and I will be things they talk about it before the show on Cap and Company.
Prop Swap is sponsoring this whole thing. I want to read you what they tweeted out. Prop Swap is sponsoring Chicago Sports Trivia Contest with 8 of Chicago's biggest sports personalities. Tune into ESPN 1000 all week to learn how you can win prizes, including a Prop Swap swag pack and a $1,000 gift card.
So first place gets a $1,000 gift card, second place gets $500, and third place gets $300, fourth place gets $200.
Now, the part where, and I was on a conference call with Prop Swap, those guys, first of all, are awesome. These are two guys who grew up in Chicago, and they have come together to form Prop Swap. It's like a great second hand sale on like these prop tickets that you could buy, like say, hey, I want the Bears to win the Super Bowl at 25-1. The Bears start out 8-0, and all of a sudden those odds go down. You can sell your ticket and make a winning to begin with and not be willing to risk it. And then someone could go to Prop Swap and then buy their ticket on the secondhand market for the certain price. And you know how people like to hedge their bet, sure, to hedge or not hedge. I'm telling you, you need to take a couple minutes to research Prop Swap because it's a great concept. It will take time to sort of understand what they're all about. And with no gambling now, when things are back, this is whenever you, whether it's you going to Vegas, you going to a sports book and you buy a prop that you're willing to sell, or you're willing to buy someone else's prop, this is the place to go. They are great guys. Like I said, they grew up here and they are self-made. They put this together on their own.
Like, also, my money would be on Carmen in this competition.
Most likely. Also, Club Hawthorne is contributing to the great prize, $100 credit for first place, $75 for second place, $50 for third place, and $25 for fourth
place. There's a lot on the line for this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would look, don't get mad at me here, Meller. Don't get mad at me, Abdallah. I believe there are only two winners, two people who can win the contest.
I agree.
You know how you can look at the NCAA 64 and you go, look, there's only 8 teams that could win it. Sure, there could be Cinderellas, but the only 8 that could win it is this team, this team, this team, this team, this team. I believe the two players who can win it are one Carmen and two Waddle.
I would go with Carmen and Yurko.
Wow.
See, I think Yurko's good at this game. I don't think he has the lasting power to be at his best for three full rounds.
You think he'll lose his concentration?
Lack stamina?
Yes.
What if he pops a blue chew mid-tournament?
He's not long and athletic. I don't believe he's got the stamina. He's always due for one dud.
I don't think I have the knowledge of the music and movie genre.
Pop culture.
Well enough. I don't have enough pop culture knowledge to win this.
The way Danny looks adoringly at you during whenever you walk into the studio, I fully expect.
Banned me from the station.
I fully expect our game to be the Big Red Machine.
No, it's going to be the Stapleton game.
Yeah, either or.
He did ban you.
I don't think it's. I've lost a few rungs. I've fallen a few rungs.
I've got no problem with people betting against me because I'm decent at pop culture trivia. I'm not the best at sports trivia, but also I've got those slow firing synapses in my brain.
Good thing you work at Q101. I mean, yeah, you're bad at sports media,
you got to understand
culture, that
the two young guys in this, Chris and I, we grew up in the internet culture. I don't need to memorize stupid sports trivia because I have Google at my fingertips whenever I want it. Oh, who won the NCAA championship in 1973? I'll just look it up. I don't need to remember this stuff. So because of that, I've never had to remember anything. I can just look it up.
More time to smoke weed.
Absolutely. And because of that, I'm okay at trivia, but it takes me a few seconds to get it.
That's right. Danny was raving about you, but I agree. I don't know if you've.
I'm good at pop culture.
Sports history. I don't think you have the sports history base to win this.
No, I agree.
But I'm better than Chris at pop culture for sure.
I'm not sure about you, Meller.
This could be Meller's downfall. Okay, this is the only thing. His knowledge is on all fronts is more than adequate. His temper gets the best of him every now and again.
Oh, I think it could
John McEnroe type situation.
Correct. Or how about this? Maybe somebody calls his lovely wife, Michelle, and says, hey, is there any chance Jeff's not acting right today? Is there any chance you can call him and just see if he's okay? Maybe that call is made sometime during the contest. So there could be some dirty pool that was played to kick Meller off of
some shenanigans, if you will.
Because there's Jeff and there's Jeffrey. And if we find a way,
are you saying you're going to text Jeffrey, his wife? Because you're matching up against Meller.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying if Jeff gets the best of me in round one, when he gets to round two, you know, when the stakes get a little bit higher, I think there's a possibility that Jeff could appear and take Jeffrey down.
We'll see. And if you look at the way, if you look at the way the bracket is scheduled is done here, the Waddle and Carmen will have to face off should they advance.
I got no chance
right away. In the next round,
we're not reseeding like the
Yurko
NBA.
Does have the best path to the finals.
Yeah, I think. Well, because all he has to do is beat Cap easy. I mean, they might not even play that round. He's just got to beat me or Chris.
Let me ask you a question. Is there, since you're the king of the internet, because you're young and you're agile, is there any site that I can go to, for a lack of a better term,
to
bone up on trivia?
No, because that's the problem. That's, you have no idea what the theme of the game is. This isn't just him taking cards out of a Trivial Pursuit game and reading them. This is he constructed a themed game for every matchup.
Right. So you're good.
You may want to brush up on your keto-friendly diets. And just
obviously,
to make sure.
This is we're on the honor system, right? Because if my daughter's listening in the other room and she's on Google, she could give me the answer.
Well, then,
right?
No, so you can't have your phone. They take your phone away for this.
She could just write things on a sheet of paper and stick it up against the window.
No, this has already been determined. Waddle, you will be going first because you're at home.
Oh, that is right. Yeah, you're going. Oh,
I'm the one that brought it up. I said we're all on the honor code, right?
Yeah, I forgot that you're at home and Yurko's at home.
Yeah, so you guys will be going.
Well, all you
first
had to do is look to your left and realize that I wasn't there.
I'm like, you have to give them your phone. I'm like, I'm completely forgetting that I'm talking to you while you're at home. See, this is why I've got no chance to win.
Yeah, I will say that, Sylvie. Like, you don't. Only is like trivia not up your alley, but you do have the look of fear in your
fear.
Eye.
Fear. I'm like a deer at night and trying to cross the street, and I
when
see a car,
to,
and it's
when
a mile
it comes
away, and I stand there and I just watch the headlights. Yeah. And like, I'd be happy with a five out of ten. I'd be happy with
who is your first round opponent?
Carmen. I mean, he's going to wipe the floor.
You got
no chance. Now, here's the toughest part. The toughest part is how you win these gift cards, the $1,000 gift card, and all that. That's the stuff that, and I work here, and I was on with Prop Swap, and I still don't understand. There's something about that five listeners are grouped with every personality to station.
So let's take the Waddle and Meller matchup. When that matchup happens, 10 people will call in.
Where's my hive? Who's my hive? Who's
five
in my hive?
Five of them will be matched with Meller. Five of them will be matched with Waddle. If Waddle wins, those five callers are put into the hopper for the prize. If Meller wins, his five callers are put into the hopper for the prize. Then in their next matchup, let's say Waddle advances and Carmen advances. I can't say Sylvie because he won't advance. Waddle advances and Carmen advances. Then they'll do it again. 10 more. Ten more. So if Waddle advances, his five move on.
But what about the people who get Waddle to begin with? Those five, they only are with Waddle for the first matchup, and they don't advance with him?
From those 40 names, we'll pull a final four who have a chance to compete in trivia tournament of their own.
Okay.
So out of those 40 names that we pull, four of them are going to and Danny said he's going to be using questions from previous games throughout the week.
So listening pays off.
Absolutely.
So you want to listen to this tournament. You want to be grouped with someone who's good. And then if they advance, you're in the hopper. And then four of the 40 will be picked for the trivia game, which you won't have to be good at. All you'll have to be good at is listening to the shows.
Exactly.
No. I got it. Waddle, you're going to have to try and explain that back to us.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no.
All right.
Just tell me where to show up.
All right. So, again, this starts tomorrow, and the first matchup is Yurko against Cap.
Oh, yeah.
And that is happening on Yurko's show tomorrow, 12:30, right? Carmen Yurko?
Exactly.
Good. We got it. And thank you to our great sponsors and partners for all this.
Don't soil yourself, Cap.
Yeah, we had a great the biggest name drop competition with all of our listeners and fans, and this is going to be equally as good, and you'll have even bigger things to win in this contest. We're trying to do as many fun things with all of our fans as possible. All right, let's sort of, if there are a few people who still want to talk. We'll get to your calls on the Bears, 332-3776, and let's sort of give a recap of what's going on currently in the state of sports, when is going to be played when. There was a Major League Conference call over the weekend. We'll get to that next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's go a general recap of what's going on in the world of sports here in just a minute. We've got Bulls stuff I want to get to, too. But Elmhurst Steve wanted to talk about the Mitch-Nick Foles battle. And we're asking people today, if you're rooting for Mitch to win this, as one fan said, why would you not want the younger, more athletic quarterback to win the competition? Elmhurst Steve, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. You know, I am not rooting for Mitch, and I'll tell you why. I thought that, and I don't know if you probably don't remember the call, but when they drafted him, I called in and said, that's it. You know, I'm just done with this. They're just so stupid. This guy shouldn't have been drafted before the second round, and they don't know how to get the quarterback right. This is a, you know, guy played 13 games in college, lost five of those games. So he was only 8-5. He wasn't that great in college and didn't even play in a top-notch, conference. And last year, if you remember, Waddle, I remember you saying, this is the year of Mitch. This is the year where we're going to find out, is he a franchise quarterback? And by the end of the season, we'll know the answer to that question. And now you're still debating it. So I don't know why you're so reticent to say, no, I'm sorry, they made a mistake. This is not the guy. So in my opinion, if he wins the starting quarterback job in camp, that means that Nick Foles was a miserable failure, and now you're doomed because this guy has already proven to me that without a shadow of a doubt, he tries to go deep, bad things happen. So he checks saw down all the time, and that's why his completion percentage is decent. But you look at his, you know, the average yardage that he gets per attempt, it's pathetic because he's so afraid to try to go down, you know, field because he knows there's too much of a chance he's going to be inaccurate and the ball's going to either be incomplete or intercepted. So he's shown me enough, and I'd like you to explain to me why you're not sure yet about this guy.
I predicted that Nick Foles would be the starter in week one.
Okay, so why is there any debate about, you know, is this guy, it wasn't, but 20 minutes ago, you're talking about, well, you know.
No. Time out. This is why I said.
Wow, look at this guy now. All of a sudden, he's doing all these things.
This is why I said these are different conversations. These are two different conversations. What is the web poll question again, Sylvie?
The web poll question is, In exact wording, are you Bears fans? Are you rooting for Mitch Trubisky to win, in all caps, the open quarterback competition?
Okay, I'll say it again, okay? And maybe this time it will resonate, and you won't be reticent to hear what I'm saying, okay? What I'm telling you is what's best, in my opinion, what's best for this organization, that Mitch comes out in training camp and lights it up. And for whatever reason, the light goes on, and we say to ourselves, Holy Mother of Mercy, that was a miracle. This is the Mitch we were hoping for in 2019. And you win because of him, not with him. That's what's best for the organization in my mind. That Mitch finally proves to you he was worth the second pick of the draft. My prediction, as it's been from the moment they traded for Nick Foles, is that Nick Foles would be your starter opening game of the season. Now, I don't know how to explain that any clearer. These are two separate conversations.
He hung up. Did he hang up? Because I didn't hang up on him. Or did you guys? I mean, we didn't hang up on him, right?
I'm surprised. No, he dropped off.
That was the essence of why I said it was a really good web poll question. Because it makes you think
it
more
makes
than
you
just.
Think. Well, do yes. I want him? I don't want him because he stinks and I see him miss open receivers. But what if he really comes out and wins? Is that the best? This came from the conversation. Where do I have the Lewis stuff? And then we could get to the in Waddle's world. I think didn't this come from the conversation that Lewis had with Cap?
Did, yes.
So is it this Lewis one here?
Yes, yes.
Do people with the Bears want Mitch to win? That was the question posed to Lewis Riddick today on Cap and Company.
Well, I mean, there's human beings, right, who naturally have a desire to see one guy maybe win over the other because maybe they've put their stamp of approval or have more invested in one person over the other. And obviously the scouts that are there, and Ryan even himself, for as much as he's going to try and say that he, you know, that this is an open competition, of course you naturally gravitate towards maybe wanting one guy to win over the other or hoping one guy wins over the other. So I wouldn't doubt that there's some of that going on internally. And by internally, I mean like internal to the individual people, but the best thing that those people can do and that everyone can do is really make sure that publicly that is never, ever, ever put forth. And so where people like you and I have something that we can then talk about and create some kind of controversy, because that's not going to serve anybody anything good as far as, you know, the overall chemistry of the football team. Because the fact of the matter is this, it doesn't matter who really wins the quarterback battle. What they better do is find a quarterback who can win football games. Otherwise, everybody will be on the street talking about which quarterback they prefer. And that's just a fact. I mean, they need to win football games because they have a defense that's capable of winning football games, and they have individual parts on offense that are capable of winning, but they haven't been able to put it all together. And it's always going to, unfairly or not, start with the quarterback, and more times than not end with the quarterback. And that's why they made the move that they did. Look, I have my own feelings about who I think is going to win that battle and for the reasons why, and I've already stated that I think Nick is going to win that battle, and I've stated the reasons why. But we'll see. I mean, the pressure is on in Chicago. There's no doubt about that. That'll obviously be that something that gains a lot of attention, although there's other positions on offense that need to pick it up too, namely the offensive line, and they've revamped that side of the ball from a coaching staff standpoint. But we'll see what happens. That is definitely one of the focal point franchises this year once the season starts.
There you go.
It's what I've been saying from the jump. If this is truly a competition, Nick Foles will win this competition, in my opinion. And the familiarity that exists now between the coaching staff and the quarterback, it's part of the reason why they decided to go with Nick Foles and not Andy Dalton. Because while there have been some that have worked with Andy Dalton, including Laser, everybody else has worked with Nick Foles. You can't tell me that that's not a reason why they decided to go and spend a fourth-round pick and give him $21 million guaranteed, because they're familiar with
him. A lot of people are. Ron Rivera's doing that in Washington.
Of course. So, listen, this is why I thought it was a really good web poll question despite the simplicity to it. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want Mitch to actually somehow, some way prove to you he was worth the second pick of the draft.
I think
that's what I'm saying, because, like, as I said also, I don't want Mitch to be the better of two bad options.
The premise of him winning, the whole point of the web poll is the premise is based on the fact that he demonstrates a comprehension of the offense.
And then
that
we're
he
all of a sudden like, oh, good.
Exactly.
Oh, this is great.
We've all talked about the missing piece for Mitch. Like, physically, he's got the talent, but his comprehension and decision-making in this offense is what's been lacking to this point.
It is funny, though, that we always give the edge as far as knowing the offense to the guy who's brand new to the team, Nick Foles. When does that ever happen? Mitch has been in this offense for 2 years working under the same head coach, and I think when we go through the matchup of the knowledge of the offense, people will give the advantage to Foles.
Well, and I think that's the right advantage, to place the advantage to.
And that's why people are so skeptical to believe that the light can go on for Mitch. That the guy who's the incumbent has the disadvantage of knowing the offense, even though he's been there for 2 years. All right. Waddle's World. We'll loosen it up. There's some crazy stories out there. Also, we'll get you the update on the state of sports and where we are and where some tournaments are moving to and everything like that. And the NFL draft and what the general managers may have to fight. It's all next in Waddle's World.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
That's right. John Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. All right. The NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced their 2010s all-decade team. Would you like for me to read the entire list?
Yeah, because I thought, I think it's weird the way they do it and how they load up in certain positions and then some positions don't get it. And I feel like they omitted one really important player to the decade.
On the offensive side of the ball, there's four receivers, two tight ends, four tackles, four guards, two centers, two quarterbacks, four running backs, and a flex. So your wide receivers are Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. Your tight end?
Anything stand out in there for you?
I think those are all good choices. I think those are all very solid choices. Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce are the tight ends. I don't have a beef with that. Now, you may be able to bring up a name because I haven't gone through it like detailed.
Yeah, we know who Pace voted for, Jimmy Graham.
Exactly. The tackles are Jason Peters, Tyron Smith, Joe Staley, Joe Thomas, Jari Evans, Logan Mankin, Zach Martin, and Marshall Yonda are the guards. Alex Mack and Marquise Pouncey are the centers. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, the quarterbacks. The running backs are Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, and the flex position was Darren Sproles.
Yeah, flex position is Darren Sproles? Does that mean like special teamer? And how many running backs does one team need?
Yeah.
How many running backs do they have? Four or five?
Four.
So why are there only two quarterbacks and four running backs? I would say if you're going to go with four running backs, give me another quarterback choice. And Drew Brees to me has had a hell of a decade.
Maybe what they decided to do was double every position, like tackles, there's two of them, so you're going to get four. It's times two. Everything's times two. Quarterback on the field, there's one. We're going to go times two. Running backs, there's two running backs and a lot of sets.
But there's
sets,
not so two running backs. I mean,
Sylvie's right. Like 80s, 90s football, yeah, you had two. You know, you might be in the I formation or...
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with an explanation for why they do that. I'm not 100% sure.
In an era where we are always devaluing the running back, the all-decade team has doubled its value.
Well, the funny thing is, and look, these are all really good players, obviously, but you find guys that you would consider standouts probably at other positions more so than the running back position. I mean, Adrian Peterson from 2010 on was fantastic, but... Like LeSean McCoy had good moments. Marshawn Lynch had some good moments. Frank Gore's numbers are great, but never a guy that you thought was the best in the business at his position.
And can I point out, every single one of Frank Gore's best years occurred before 2010. Like, Frank Gore was a really good running back from 2005 until 2009. Then the 2010 decade hit, and Frank Gore was just a serviceable running back.
You look at the names, and you come to the conclusion that the running back position has been devalued in a lot of ways, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And what about, like, shouldn't Le'Veon Bell be on this team over Frank Gore?
Probably so, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell's the better player, but the stats probably, you know how the Gore stacking stats are so good.
But that's just, I don't know. I don't get that at all.
Defensively, here's your names. Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, J.J. Watt, Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, Chandler Jones, Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Vaughn Miller, Bobby Wagner, Patrick Willis were the linebackers. The corners were Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, and Richard Sherman. The safeties, Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle. And then just in the defensive back category, guys that can play multiple positions, Chris Harris, Tyrann Mathieu. So.
Then, so two guys who played and rushed the passer for the Bears.
Yes, Khalil Mack and Julius Peppers. And on the specialty front, Devin Hester was the kick returner. If I'm not mistaken, Devin Hester was in the 2000 to 2010 crew all-decade team, right?
Wow.
So wasn't he named in both decades?
Yes, and did you see who the second kick returner was?
Cordero Patterson.
It was.
Oh, look at the Bears.
So look at that. So those are your all-decade team participants.
Matt Nagy had Cordero Patterson as his all-running back team.
Yes, and wide receiver screen.
It's flex.
Yes. The NFL confirms fully virtual draft for 2020. The draft will be conducted in a virtual format with team personnel working from their homes. In a memo sent to the 32 teams, Commissioner Roger Goodell outlined procedures for the April 23rd to 25th draft. The guidelines include no group gatherings, all team facilities closed March 26th, and Goodell has ordered them to remain shut indefinitely. So it's going to be a virtual draft.
I mean, is it? But what do you mean, like a virtual draft?
That,
isn't
that
they're just not in the war room? They're still doing it the same,
right?
I mean, and I know McShay said this morning. We'll play this later. That they're worried about the bandwidth.
Matt Nagy coming over to Ryan Pace's house.
They've been advised not to do that by the league.
Can you have anybody at your house, or is Ryan Pace doing this like on his computer, like a fantasy football draft?
Listen, I think they're trying
to. John Fox is definitely not going to be at the house.
Fox wouldn't even be invited to the Zoom meeting.
So anyway, Antonio Brown has hired another agent, Ed Wasilewski, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Eddie.
Big Ed.
Do you think he's got a shot with Baltimore? Do you think that's just what is that, his nephew or his cousin?
Cousin, Hollywood Brown.
I don't think. I can't imagine anybody wanting to take a chance on him not knowing what's the NFL ruling on his situation.
We haven't got one.
So I don't see anybody doing that yet.
Think about that, too. So remember the Bruce Arians sound when they asked him, is there any chance you'd bring in Antonio Brown with Tom Brady? And he was like, no, he's not a fit in this locker room. A guy who's actually coached him. Right. Can you imagine Antonio Brown inside the Ravens locker room and you know the offense they run? I mean, Antonio Brown would be so mad so quickly that he's not getting more than four catches in a game.
That's a great point. Great point.
When is he going to learn that he shouldn't be mad about anything? And then the next chance he gets is probably his last chance.
Never. I can answer that question as quickly as Bruce Arians answered his question about whether you'd have him in the locker room. No. Also, Tigers great Al Kaline has passed away at the age of 85. I remember growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and being aware of Al Kaline and what a great player he was. Masters has been rescheduled to November. I like it.
So November.
Yes. Going to be held November 12th through the 15th.
Do you think there will be a crowd there in November?
That's
Better be, right? I
mean, yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about no crowd then?
I would hope so, but I wouldn't put money on it.
Right.
The U.S. Open has been rescheduled for September 17th to the 20th at Winged Foot, and the PGA Championship has been moved to August 6th through the 9th. The Ryder Cup will keep its original dates, September 25th to 27th. I believe all of this, and by the way, the British Open or the Open Championship has been canceled. I believe that these are optimistic goals. I'm glad that they've set these dates because they can always go back in and decide to change them or cancel them.
You have to plan to hold an event like that, so you have to announce it.
Amen.
And then you could always cancel it if the science tells you otherwise.
And by the way, Clemson is a massive favorite to win the ACC title again, just in case you were wondering where
in college football. But that whenever I read stuff about the college game, that scares me the most. And like people bring up about how are you going to keep them all on campus. Wilbon brought that up last week. It's a confusing world, man.
Yeah, Chris and I talked to someone this weekend who's talked to some coaches and athletic directors and a couple of the commissioners. And she said that basically they're going to play college football. It's just a matter of when because of how much money college football brings in for the rest of the schools. And like Bruce Weber was on with Carmen and Yurko talking about how little money they already have and they need college. So even if they're talking about maybe not even playing until, you know, late winter,
like
early
a winter
spring,
sport, yeah.
And only playing conference games or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they got to bring in some form of gate because of how important college football is to keeping the rest of the sports alive. Yeah.
There was a tweet that someone sent out last week, I think, and it had LSU's listed revenue, profit generated. The profit and loss coming from the different sports. In LSU, and this is, I'm going by memory now, football was like $56 million in profit. Basketball was like, I don't know, a million something in profit. Baseball was like $500,000. Every other sport was in the red by a serious number. So the only way that all of those sports even, you know, made sense financially was because of the revenue that's generated by the football program. I mean, it was insane the amount of money that's generated that actually helps fund all of the other sports programs. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, but something that we all know.
Yes. When we come back, I have a story about a soccer star and prostitute sex parties and Florida, Ohio, and some other nonsense.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
From the desk of Jeff Meller, sent earlier today, this is your story. Soccer star Kyle Walker caught in prostitute sex party amid coronavirus lockdown. There's paying a pair of prostitutes to come over for a sex party and being photographed in your underwear handing out the cash. Then there's hosting that late night rendezvous amid a coronavirus lockdown in flagrant violation of social distancing guidelines. And then there's doing that mere hours after going on social media to remind your millions of followers about the importance of following those public health guidelines. That's the dubious hat trick apparently scored by Manchester City soccer star Kyle Walker, who was apologizing and facing discipline from his Premier League team after one of the escorts blew the lid off the sexcapade. Yes, in an interview with The Sun. So, Meller.
Yes. No surprise.
Where'd you find this story?
No surprise. It was a Man City player.
Yeah, that's my team, Waddle.
Oh, that's your team.
So listen.
What do you have to say for your guy, Kyle Walker?
Well, it's no surprise that Kyle Walker couldn't protect that back line.
Whoa!
But listen, when you have to stimulate the economy, you got to do everything you can,
right? Oh, here
he
goes, ladies and gentlemen.
He's providing jobs for the people out there. Sex party... It seems like an over-exaggeration.
It was a party. It was him and a buddy and two others.
That's a small party. That's a sex gathering. Okay?
Okay.
That is not a sex party.
No, no, no.
That is a sex gathering.
It's
all right?
You know
it's
what?
Under 10 people.
I think that's fair.
Listen, Adam, my guess is at some point in your life, you had a birthday party where there were only three people there.
It was a birthday gathering,
that
Tom.
That seems like a shot.
It does seem like
a shot.
I
didn't mean it that way.
Listen, everyone's struggling here. Everyone's, you know, we all got to come together. And
you said come together, right?
I said we all got to come together and support each other. And
that would be a part.
Like bring each other
all
together.
He just wanted to order some carry out.
$2,700 worth, I think, was the ultimate tab.
That seems like how much did he tip?
Hey, everybody, make sure that you exercise social distancing and you stay safe and you stay inside.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Hey, by the way, look at this.
We got to talk about the Cutler situation, too. Did you see that there's been a threat on that? They've been down in the Bahamas for like almost 30 days now.
I knew they were there, and then there was a time, and I was texting with Jay a couple of weeks ago, and he said he didn't know when they were going to go back.
Yes, and then now I don't think you can leave. I don't think you're allowed. They had a window when they could have left, and there's like a whole thread on social media about that.
And I'm sure he's just fine hanging out.
Well, you know, they're taking a licking on social media, though.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we talking about Kyle Walker again?
Yeah. Hey, Bubba Wallace loses a sponsorship after rage quitting during the NASCAR iRacing event. I don't know what this is all about.
Like you have a temper tantrum during the race?
So rage quitting is when you play video games against other people online and you're basically losing so bad that you just pull the plug.
It's like hitting the reset button when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yes, it says it wound up rage quitting, a popular gamer term for a player who gets so angry that they prematurely bow out of the competition.
You never quit. Isn't that the essence of sports? You always finish a race. You never leave. You never walk out. You never quit. I mean, unless your health is in danger, that you finish the game.
Yeah, how about this? Wallace, I believe Bubba Wallace, was involved in a messy sequence with Clint Bowyer early in the race when Bowyer cut in front of Wallace's car on a straightaway and then came up high and put Wallace into the wall. While Bowyer ultimately spun out and seemed peeved about Wallace's actions, Bubba was clearly more annoyed. He quickly decided he'd had enough and quit the race in a fit of anger. Quote, "Y'all have a good one, that's it. This is why I don't take this blank serious," said Wallace on his Twitch stream immediately after the wreck. Peace out.
Well, then you shouldn't be in it if you're not taking it seriously. It's all we have.
Do you think Ryan Pace will rage quit the draft?
Do you want him to rage quit the draft?
I want him to auto draft because I feel like that's the they'll get the best available players.
Do you think they have is there some sort of auto draft for the draft?
Well, that's the big question. What is the plan if... Because you know some GM somewhere is going
to
have...
He's got a rotary phone at the house and doesn't even have an internet hookup.
No, but it's just logging in and something's going to happen. Someone's going to time out.
Hacked.
They've got spotty...
What if you get hacked?
Absolutely. Ooh. There's absolutely going to be someone who gets hacked.
When you get hacked, someone is going to hack. If people are already hacking Zoom meetings and e-learning and everything...
Tell Ryan to change his password from Bears, okay? Change the password.
You know it's Mitch.
Bears 12. Bears 10, I mean.
How about this? Real quick. A man caught with what is this, Adam? A rucksack of cannabis. And he tells the police.
A rucksack? My rucksack?
I don't know what it is. I'm buying in bulk due to the lockdown. That was his excuse.
It's that story was from over in Europe, and it's just a backpack.
Oh, it's a backpack. Yeah, backpack of weed?
Yeah, backpack full of weed.
Okay. Probably a good time to play Florida, Ohio.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs at fieldsautogroup.com.
Let me interject this. I think Sylvie and I are both on a 7-game win streak.
Okay, well, we're doing a little twist here. I want to congratulate the state of Ohio and the state of Florida for keeping it normal while we're all under quarantine. So, what I've done
is a classic story.
I've gone through the archives of crazy past and found old stories. We haven't done them, so...
Okay, good.
So time out, real quick.
So this is not a news story. This
is older stories from the archives.
I'm shocked that there haven't been up-to-date
transgressions. Well, the problem is all it is man arrested for coughing on someone and saying they have corona.
I've seen some of those videos. Do you guys see the Walmart video, by the way?
There's 30 of those stories, and that stuff is stupid. That's not funny. So...
Go in the Wayback Machine.
Police find man who said he was too high, surrounded by Doritos. Police were called to a home by a man who said he was too high and found him in the fetal position, surrounded by Doritos.
That's so Ohio.
Police responded to the 22-year-old man's home around 5:20 p.m., an hour after 4:20, when they could hear the man groaning from a room. That's when officers find him lying on the fetal position, surrounded by a plethora of Doritos, Farm Goldfish, and Chips Ahoy cookies.
That's the Ohio combo. That's Columbus.
That's a really good combo right there.
He also claimed he couldn't feel his hands because he had smoked too much marijuana.
Is that possible, Adam? Can you smoke too much marijuana?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean,
but you can't OD on marijuana.
You can't overdose on marijuana, but you could do something stupid. Like if he would have gotten into a car and driven.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
You can die from being dumb.
I just didn't know.
Or you just feel bad.
Yeah.
Right?
You just feel really sick. Like if you take too much edibles, you just kind of feel really sick to your stomach. Okay. You just go to sleep.
Columbus, Ohio.
I'm riding with Waddle on this. I'll go Youngstown. I think an archive story in Florida would have been crazier than that.
I agree.
I'm gonna go Oppo with you guys. I'll go Florida, FLA.
Police found a man who said he was too high, surrounded by Doritos, Pepperidge Farm goldfish, and Chips Ahoy cookies in Austintown, Ohio.
Yes! Wow, we've hit like three or four Ohios in the mix, too.
That's right.
Which isn't easy to do. It's easy to guess a Florida all the time.
See, and now that I'm doing classic stories, like, it could be anywhere.
Sure.
That was classic Ohio. Classic Ohio behavior.
Speaking of classic stories, Dan Dockich is a classic guest. He'll join us next and tell us, why did the Pacers front office guy, Buchanan, decide no to the Bulls? He'll tell us in 2 minutes.